Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksuba Yisai. Now, if we begin right on top of the Amid, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Be Yisrael Chodesh Echad B'chulu, back to the Mishnah. We had three cases of a neder between husband and wife. In the first case, he makes a neder. Look, you can't have any benefit from me, Tanakama says. We'll give you 30 days, then it's all over, you have to divorce. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if she's an Eshes Yisrael, it's a month of leeway. Otherwise, if we're speaking about an Eshes Kohen, in which case he can't remarry, we give you a bit more time to reconsider. Question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda say, Be Yisrael Chodesh Echad, which is exactly like the Tanakama? The first Tana also says, it's a 30-day grace period for the typical Eshes Yisrael. Isn't this a repetition? Haina Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda's month leeway is exactly like the Tanakama's 30-day leeway. 30 days is a month. Amar Rabbi, Kehenes Asalashminan. True. In terms of the Yisrael's wife, he's really saying the same as Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda was just trying to add another element in Eshes Kohen, if she's married to a Kohen, in which case we give you a bit more grace period and allow you to reconsider. So that's the additional Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. Regarding the Eshes Kohen. Rava Amar, there's another difference, even regarding a Yisrael's wife. Chodesh Malay v'chodesh Chasri Kibinayu. Tanakama says, it's a 30-day grace period, which we learned yesterday, is the amount of time needed for the news to get out, which would shame and humiliate her in public. So we give you 30 days, otherwise, if it's past 30, divorce. What about if the month happens to have 29 days? You know, some month you have 29, some you have 30. So according to Tanakama, it's a standard 30-day grace period. We don't differentiate. We avoid confusion. Keep it clear and consistent, 30 days. Rabbi Yehuda looks at the month per month. So if it's a 30-day month, fine, we'll give you that month. But if it's a 29-day month, you want to keep it clear and consistent, just make it a month. So whatever the month happens to be. And if it's a 29-day month, you only have 29 days to reconsider. So that's Ike B'nai between Tanakama, who sets it at 30 standard, and Rabbi Yehuda sets it at a month, whatever the month happens to be. Amar Rav Lo Yishanu. This halacha that we give him a 30-day, etc., grace period, that only applies Ela B'mefarish. If he specifies, look, I'm going to make this nether for X amount of time, then she knows there's an end in sight. If it's only 30 days, okay, that's reasonable. Aval b'stam. But if he leaves it open-ended, unspecified, leaves her hanging perpetually, and she doesn't see an end in sight, yaitzi la'alter v'yitin ksuba, he has to divorce immediately and pay the ksuba. That's unfair. U'shmul amar afilu b'stam. You know, even if he didn't give a defined, a specified expiration date to his neder, lo yaitzi, he's not compelled to divorce. Why? Shema yimtza pesach l'nidroi. After all, he might find a way out of his nether and reconsider. Give him that chance. So according to Rav, if it's stam, divorce. According to Shmuel, even by stam, he left it open-ended. We give him a chance to reconsider. Asks the Gemara, but haven't Rav and Shmuel already discussed this very same issue earlier by the other nether of Tashmish Shamita back in the previous parak? They've already discussed this earlier. If Lugube, this nun, Hamadar is Ishta Mitashmish Shamita, he makes a nether, I will not interact with you physically. We give him 2 weeks and that's it. Imrim Shabbos Achas, 1 week. Vamarab, Rav added, Machlekes B'mefarish. This only works if he specifies a week, 2 weeks. Okay, it's reasonable. We let it go. Aval b'stam, but if it's unspecified, there's no real defined end zone expiration date to this nether. Yaitzi l'alter v'itin ksuba. You must divorce and pay the ksuba. You can't just let your wife hang like that in uncertainty. Ushmol amar afilu b'stam nami. Even if it was just a stam, lo yaitzi, you should not divorce. He doesn't have to divorce. Shema yimtza pesach l'nidroi. Ultimately, he might find a way out to nullify the nether. Give him a chance. So why discuss the same machlekes there and here? Tzricha, both are needed. Di itmar b'hahi. If only from that discussion, I would say b'hahi kama rap. Perhaps over there, Rav maintains that if he didn't specify a defined duration for the neder, you have to divorce mishum delay efshar b'parnas. There, you can't really have an arrangement through a third party to provide for it. We're speaking about physical interaction. So distancing yourself plus leaving her in a state of uncertainty, that's unfair. Divorce right away. Aval b'ho, but in our case, where it's just a matter of sustenance and provisions, the efshar b'parnas. After all, it can have a third party provide for her, as we discussed yesterday. So that mitigates the issue. Eima moideli l'shmuel. Perhaps in this case, even Rav would agree to Shmuel, even if it's a stam nether, give it a chance to unravel. Give him a chance to reconsider. No, chiddush is even here. Rav says, you're being unfair, divorce. V'yitmar b'ho. If only this discussion by us, b'ho kamar Shmuel, I would say, yeah, in this case, Shmuel insists on divorce. Mishum de'ef, Shmuel does not insist on divorce, even if it's stam. Give him a chance, mishum de'efshar b'parnas, because after all, you're providing through a third party. Aval b'ahi, but in the case of Tashem Shamita, where that's not practical, eima moide l'rav, perhaps Shmuel would agree to Rav, if it's a stam neder, that's not a way to work, and you have to divorce Tzricha, the chiddush is no, even in that case, we give him a chance to rescind, to reconsider. Let's move on to the next part of our Mishnah, part 2, Tanan. Hamaderus ishtag, shloi titoim echad mikol aperis. He makes a nether. Don't enjoy this specific type of fruit. Yoitzi, v'yitin ksuba, divorce right away and give the ksuba. Why is there no grace period in this case? Like in the first case of the nether that you can't have enough from me, will we give him a grace period? Why is this different? Now, bishlam el Rav, according to Rav, we can provide a very simple solution. Kan bistam. In case one of the Mishnah, he specified 2 weeks, a month. Okay, we let it stand. But here, with a fruit, it was stam, it was undefined, unspecified, divorced right away. Elo l'shmol kash. But according to Shmuel, there is no difference between stam or mefarish. So how would you explain the difference between the case of between case one of the Mishnah, where we give him a 30-day grace period, and grace two, where we don't? Kasha. Oh, we're speaking about a very specific case. He didn't make the nether, she made the nether. She expressed this nether. And he confirmed it. Typically, a husband has the ability to interfere with his wife's nether. In this case, he accepted it, he confirmed it. Oh. So the point is, there's no benefit to waiting. There's no point in waiting. You see, when he's making the nether against her, so she assumes that, you know, he got upset. We give him some time to cool off, to unravel, to get back to himself. Give him 30 days. Okay, so it's a reasonable amount of time to allow him to get back, his train back on track. But here, she was the one who made the nether and is running to Bezdin to get her ksuba. It's pretty clear that she has no intent. She has no plans to reconsider. She's running to get her ksuba. She wants to get divorced. So in this case, no point in waiting. Now the question is, fine. There's no point in waiting, but why do we obligate him to pay his ksuba? She's the one making the trouble. She's the one distancing herself from me. She's the one making a nether, and as the Gemara later says, she's complaining, look, I made the nether, and he's confirming it, and he doesn't like me. See, he's perfectly fine with me living with these restrictions. I want out. Fine, but who's the one making it? Who's the one who actually made the nether sheet? So why does he have to pay the ksuba? The answer is, because Savar Rav Meir. We assume that a Mishnah without a name is Rav Meir. Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. So Rav Meir, now Mishnah holds as follows. He's at fault. Husband's always at fault. Who knows in Esprabation now? He's the one placing her finger between her teeth. It's a phrase, a saying. He confirmed. He formalized the nether. And therefore, he's the one that sort of bit her. And therefore, he's obligated. He's called to task. He has to pay the ksuba. Really? Yisava Rabbi Meir, who knows in Esprabation now? So is that so? That according to Rav Meir? He's the one at fault? He's the one biting her? But Tanya, listen to this price. Ha'isha should nadir ben nazir. An isha makes a nether. I'm going to be a nazir. V'shama bala, her husband overhears. V'lo yehefer la, He neglects to make hafaras nedarim. He does not get in the way. He doesn't interfere. He allows her neder to stand. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Imrim, they both hold, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, both, he nasna etzba ben shina. She's the one at fault. She placed her finger between her teeth and bit it. She made another. What do you have against him? Lefichach, therefore, imratza haba lahafer yafer. If the husband decides to interfere with the nether, fine. That's his choice. But if he says, look, I can't handle this. I'm not going to live with an isha that makes nedarim, makes nazirus. I want out. Teitish lebiksuba, she must leave without a ksuba. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Lazo, they both hold differently. Husband's at fault. He's the one who confirmed the nether. He's the one that solidified the nether. He's the one that's in charge of this nether. It's as though he placed her finger between her teeth. Okay, so if he wants to do afara, gezuntahid, he can do that. If he decides that he can't handle an isha that does these commitments, he can divorce, but he has to pay the ksuba. Bottom line is, our question is, machlekes tanoim. Who's at fault when she makes a nether and he confirms it? Is it her issue or his issue? Clearly, according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, it's her issue. And she can just leave, but without a ksuba. And here we're saying, and our Mishnah was saying, the same type of case. She makes the nether, he confirms, he divorces, but he has to pay for the ksuba. Eifuch says, Digmar, let's switch around the names to make it in sync with our Mishnah. Again, we're assuming that our Mishnah is Rav Meir, even though there's no name in our Mishnah, but Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir. It's his issue. And likewise, over there in the Mishnah by Nazir, it's his issue as well. We'll switch around the names so that they line up with each other. Rav Meir of Rabbi Yehuda Imrim, who noising? He's the one called to task. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Lazar Imrim, he nasna, she's at fault. Really? But now we're going to have a misalignment on Rabbi Yosi's case. V'sav Rabbi Yosi, he nasna? Is that so that according to Rabbi Yosi, she's taken to task? V'atanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah, where it so happens that Rabbi Yosi's name is mentioned. Is mentioned in a manner where we seem to be incriminating him. This is the last case in the Mishnah, case number 3. It was a nether to avoid, cosmetics. Rabbi Yosi Omer. So she made the nether and he confirmed it. He let it stand. Rabbi Yosi Omer Banios. If we're speaking about, a poor couple, so the Isha is not so habitualized in this type of, lifestyle of cosmetics and etc. So she can handle, some more than a wealthy woman. Shalinos and Kitzpa, if there is just an unknown here, he didn't provide any time frame for the nether, then he has to divorce and pay the ksuba. She made the nether, but he confirmed it. He's at fault. So Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that he's at fault. And there in the Mishnah, you just switched around the names, which resulted in Rabbi Yosi holding that she's at fault. Says the Gemara, we'll switch around the names, we'll rearrange the names further so that it will work out. Ema, let's say like this. Rav Meir, Rabbi Yosi, Imrim Hu Noisin, he's the one at fault. He's the one that placed, the finger between the teeth, which would be consistent with our Mishnah. We have Rabbi Yosi and our Mishnah who maintains that he's at fault, and Rav Meir as well, the Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, which maintains that he's at fault. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, I remember the other pair hold, he nasna, she's at fault. One second, we have another problem. Rabbi Yehuda faults her, but Rabbi Yehuda is also contained in our Mishnah as well, as saying that he is the one that's going to be paying the ksuba for the nether that she made that he confirmed. Vesava Rabbi Yehuda, he nasna, is Rabbi Yehuda of the opinion that she is at fault? Vatsanan, we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Yomer B'Yisrael, Yomer Echad Yekayim. That was in the second case of the pay race, right? So if it's a Yisrael, one day, if it's a Kain, but he has to pay the ksuba, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, he's the one that's at fault. Okay, so now we're really stuck. Says there were no problem. Instead of making it, you know, two names on this side of the debate and two names on the other side, we'll make it 3-1. This way, everything will be perfectly in line. Ema will say like this: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, those three, who are actually mentioned in our Mishnah as well, of the opinion that he's the one at fault. They all hold who knows him. He's the one that placed the finger to be bitten. He's the one at fault. Rabbi Lezer is the sole sheet on the other side of the equation. Lezer Omer, he knows that she's at fault. Okay, so now everything works. In terms of Omer, another approach would be Zugi Zugi Ketani, that the Mishnah in Nazir. It contains two peers. A pair of Tanoim on this side of the debate versus a pair of Tanoim on the other side. So it's not 3-1, it has to be 2-2. So how are you going to work it out? We could work it out nevertheless. Why? We'll say like this: Ema, Rab Meir, Rab Leza, Eimrim, he nasna. Rab Meir and Rab Leza both hold she's at fault, and she's not deserving of a ksuba when she makes a nether. Rab Yehuda, Rab Yasi, Eimrim, who knows, he's at fault and he has to pay the nether. Question remains: if Rab Meir faults her, but in our Mishnah, we seem to fault him. He has to pay the ksuba, and we assume that he's stam a Mishnah as Rav Meir. Answer is, it's not. V'astam adloike Rav Meir. It so happens to be that our Mishnah, despite the fact that it's an anonymous Mishnah, which is typically Rav Meir, in our case, it's not Rav Meir. Okay, so it works out. Bottom line is, all the Tanoim in our Mishnah, whether Tanakamba, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yasi, all agree that even though she makes the nether, but since he has the ability to override that nether, he fails to do so. He's at fault. He's taken to task. He has to address the ramifications. Asks the Gemara, one of the Tanaim happens to be Rabbi Yosi. V'sava Rabbi Yosi ban Yosi l'nasan kitzba. Rabbi Yosi holds, if she's a relative, you know, a poor person, and she forbade herself to partake in, you know, these cosmetics, and he confirmed the nether. If it was an open-ended prohibition, open-ended restriction, he has to give a get and a ksuba. Why? It's your fault. You should have interfered. You should have stepped in. You should have destroyed the nether. Alma ba'al matzi mefer. Apparently, you're assuming that her husband has the ability to be mefer such a nether, even though it's pertaining to her personal issues. I won't use cosmetics. He can step in and interfere? Really? What right does a man have to do so? V'raminu we have a kasha from Rabbi Yosi himself, who doesn't seem to hold as such. Elu dvarim shabal mefer. A husband can nullify the following nedarim. Not everything, only very specific things. This is based on the psukim and the parsha. Dvarim sheish behem iru nefesh. Things which distress her. For instance, bathing. This is the Tanakama speaking. We're going to get to Rabbi Yosi in a minute. Im erachatz im lo erachatz. Rashi explains this based on the Gemara Nedarim. It means, ultimately, she's not going to bathe. Why? She's saying, look, if I bathe, then I won't be able to bathe again. Im lo erachatz means I'm making a shvur not to bathe. The bottom line is, she's not going to bathe. Im eskashet, im lo eskashet. She'll have no part in cosmetics and adornments. So iskashet means if I do it, that'll be the last time for the rest of my life. In lo iskashet, I swear not to apply, you know, cosmetics. A husband can interfere. Amar Rabbi Yosi, no. These aren't pertaining to, you know, internal nefesh needs. It's very important to bathe, to beautify, but ein Rabbi Yosi mi ein elu nidre inu nefesh. These aren't nedarim pertaining to real inu nefesh, things which just stress a person. These are not internal issues. Ve'elu hei nidre inu nefesh. I'll give examples of inu nefesh. Things that really pain a person. Shleichal basar v'leishte yayin. I'll refrain from wine, from wheat, meat. Shleiskashet bevigdei tziv oinen. This is an isha who needs it. She needs to, you know, dress up with bevigdei tziv oinen, colored clothing. I won't. From now on, it's just black and white. That's, Rashi says, Gnai, Rashi on top line, Gnai, you bezoin hulo, mizgan olav. This is going to be really terrible. She's going to lose favor in his eyes. That's really inu nefesh. Clearly, according to Rabbi Yossi, a husband can't get in the way of his wife's nether if it's only pertaining to, you know, superficial issues, such as the case in our Mishnah, case number 3, I will not apply a certain type of cosmetic. He can't interfere. So why does Rabbi Yossi call him to task? Consider the husband at fault. What could he have done? He had no ability to override that nether. Answers the Gemara, and now Mishnah was speaking about a very specific case. We're speaking about body care issues, which affect their physical interaction, removal of hair in sensitive areas. So there, he has the ability to override, and he should have done that. Well, that's not so simple. This works according to the Shita, that Dvarim Shebenei Lebina, these types of personal issues, Habal Mefer, a husband could interfere. Elul Mandamar Ein Habal Mefer, but according to the Shita, the husband cannot interfere even regarding these Nidar, Michael Memer, then why is he at fault? The Itmar, as we learned, Dvarim Shebenei Lebina, these interpersonal issues, Rav Huna Amar Habal Mefer, a husband can be Mefer. Rav Adabar Av Amar Ein Habal Mefer, he can't be Mefer even these intimate issues. Shalai Matsinu Shul. We never found a fox. Shemes, who died ba'afar pir, by running into the dirt and the earth of his hole, of his own hideout. Here as well, explains Rashi, here in growing in sensitive areas, that's not going to interfere with the husband's interaction. He knows his way around. So according to this opinion, a husband can't interfere with these types of vows. So why would we hold it against him for not doing so? Ella hachav b'mayaskinan, apparently was speaking, he going to talinu l'kishiteh b'tashma shamita. A very unique arrangement. She said like this. If I proceed with applying, you know, certain cosmetics, I will be usher in tashma shamita with you. It's a form of a nether. It's a conditional nether. I can't partake in kishutim and certain adornments and cosmetics, because if I do so, I'm not allowed to enjoy the interaction with you. The Amra, for instance, she says like this, Yaser hanas tashmishi chalai. The benefit that one typically has from interacting with her husband will be aser on me. Imeskashet, if I adorn myself. So now he has a full right to interfere. Because if she adorns, if she applies this perfume or cosmetic, he will no longer be able to interact with her. So although she can't really, you see, she can't really make herself usher on him, she has no right to do that, she's committed to him, but if she does it in this manner, she says, look, I can't enjoy my interaction with you, then he's stuck. He can't feed her something which is usher to her. Let's say an Isha says, your experience with me should be usher on you. I mean, you can't benefit from your interaction with me. She's not a player in that. She has no say in that matter. You can force her and interact with her because she has no right to do that. She can't make herself usher on her husband. But if she expresses it the other way, in the reverse, Hanas Hashmishich Alai. She says to her husband, look, the anah that I typically have by interacting with you should become usher on me. Now that's a problem. Yofer, he has to quickly get that taken care of. You can't provide somebody with something which you cannot provide something which is usher to somebody. You can't feed him something which is usher to him. So that's the case in the Mishnah. If I am miskashet, I'll be usher on you, meaning I can't benefit from interacting with you. Now he's in trouble. He has to quickly take care of that nether. Asks the Gemara, you know, v'loite miskashet, v'loite usher. Why does he have to get involved? Okay, don't adorn yourself. Don't apply, you know, this perfume, this cosmetic, and don't be usher on me. Easy way out. Imkain korolah menuvelas, because then people will consider her, you know, a menuvel. Unclean and undignified, it's not going to last. At the bottom line, it's not sustainable. She's not going to be able to bear it. So ultimately, she will be miskashit and be usher on him. So he better preempt that. Asks the Gemara, okay, let's say v'tiskashet v'tiyaser. Even if she proceeds, she is miskashet with those cosmetics, and she becomes usher on him. It's not yet the end of the world. You have a week or two to work it through. Right? Ilu beis shamay shtei shabbosais, ilu beis hilul shabbos achas. Remember when he made the nether against her, we gave him 2 weeks or 1 week. Shamay b'yasil. Here as well, let's give it a week or two. Why does she get to leave right now? Answers the Gemara, oh, there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. When does this grace period apply? When the husband jumped and made the nether, the suver, she figures, okay, it's the way of the land, the way of the world. You got mad at me. Not the first time. He made a nether. Look, give him a little time. I know him already. He'll calm down. He'll come around. So give him a week or two to come around. But now, Mishnah, who made the nether? She made the nether, and he confirmed it. Apparently, he couldn't care less about me. The nadra ihi, she made the nether. Vishasak la. And he remained silent. He accepted it. He let it stand. Why did you allow myself to restrict myself in this manner? You weren't upset at me. Apparently, you don't have much interest in me. Savra, she figures, she was like testing him. Midi ishtek, the fact that he remained silent. Misna, who does sunnily, that's the biggest indicator of his lack of interest in me. And therefore, I want out. Rabbi Yesu Eimer, when it comes to cosmetics, give it some time. Ba'aniyois shalonos an kitzpo. If she's an isha, who's an ani, not accustomed to these cosmetics, it's not so pertinent, it's not so crucial. Only time it's a real issue is if it's an open-ended nether without a, you know, a defined time frame. That's too much to bear. V'kama kitzpah, what's considered a time, a limited time frame, which is reasonable. Amar Rav Shmuel, Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months. She can live 12 months without these cosmetics. Rabba, Babachana Amar Rav Yechon, Eser Shanim, 10 years. Rav Chizda Amar Abimi, Regel, 1 Yomtiv. She came b'nois Yisrael, miskashis v'regel, it is the derech for Jewish women to apply these things on Yom Tov. So that's by an aniyah. We have more room, you know, to more room for tolerance. But ashirois ubashirois lamed yoyim, them it's a 30-day cap. Why 30 days? Maishna lamed yoyim, amra baya, she came isha chashuva, a prominent wealthy woman, nehenis, mireyach kishoteo lamed yoyim, she's still has residual, you know, benefit from the aroma of her kishut, which she applied, you know, within the last 30 days. So it lasts for 30 days. She can manage for 30 days without applying new kishutim, but past that is too much to handle. Okay, before we continue, let's just recap the Gemara up until now. We had a Mishnah with three cases. In the first case, he made a nether. You cannot have anah from me, Tanakama says. It's a 30-day cap. Rabbi Yehuda says, by Yeshes Yisrael, it's a chodesh. By the Kayin, it's more. So, according to one opinion in the Gemara, there was a difference between Tanakama, who says 30 days, and Rabbi Yehuda says chodesh. That's a 29-day month. That's all he has. Now, in the first case, in that case, he was the one who made the nether. We had a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Rav says he has to be mefarish. It's going to last for such and such. But if it's b'stam, you have to be megarish and give a ksuba. Shmuel says even by stam, give him some time to come around. In case two of the Mishnah, she was the one who made the nether. I'm not going to have, you know, the peres. He confirmed it. So Tanakam says, right away, be megarish, give a ksuba. The same thing in the next case. She made a nether. I'm not going to apply, you know, certain cosmetics. I think Mark explained she was tailored in Tashmish Amita, which makes it really critical. Again, Tanakama says it's his issue. He should have stepped in and terminated the nether. He has to divorce and give the ksuba. Now, by Peiris, we have Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, who says it's not an immediate thing. You give it a day or 2 days. And by Kishut, we have Rabbi Yesi, who says we work with a different formula, if it's kitzpah or 30 days, as we just explained. One more thing to point out, that according to Rav, Rav was the one who said that if the nether is open-ended, then, you know, you can't just leave her, you know, in a state of uncertainty. You have to divorce right away. So that was another way to explain the difference between case one in the Mishnah, where it's a 30-day grace period, and case two and case three, according to Tanakama, he has to divorce immediately and give a ksuba. That's because he was speaking that it was bestam. He didn't really define, he didn't give a reasonable time frame, in which case he must address it immediately, be megarish with the ksuba. Okay, continues the mission. Hamader is ishtoi, shiloi telech lebeis aviyah. This fellow got into something with his father-in-law. He tells his wife, you know what? Another against visiting your parents. How long is that gonna hold for? Bizman show imabir. So now if the father is in town, they live close by. Chodesh echad yukayim. If it's a nether for just a month, okay, she can bear it. We leave it alone. But if it's more than that, shnayim, yoytzi v'itin ksuba, he has to divorce and pay the ksuba. Ubizman shu bir acheres. The father lives in a different town. That allows for greater tolerance. Regel echad yukayim. So if it's for one Yom Tov, you know, until the next Yom Tov, okay, we can handle it. But Shloisha, if it's going to last into three Yomim Tovim, Yoytzi v'tin Ksuba, that's unreasonable. You're asking for too much. Divorce with a Ksuba. Hamader is Ishtim. Shloi Teilech l'Beis HaAvel. He makes a nether against his wife. You can't go to the base of the Avel. Oy l'Beis HaMishta, don't go to a wedding. Yoytzi v'tin ksuba, he has to divorce and give her the ksuba. You can't, shut the door on her socially. You can't do that. He's closing the door before. She's not going to interact with people. Nobody will interact with her. That's not fair to her. Let's say he has a reason for it. He's concerned about the lack of tznius, so etc. Rashai, in that case, he's right. Amrullah, let's say he tells his wife, he compels her to get involved in a non-sneistic association. He tells her, look, Amanasha Toimri Leploini Masha Martli. He says, unless you tell this person what you told me in private, I'm going to make a nether against you. Oy Masha Marti Loch. Or the nether will work unless you divulge to other people what I told you, something inappropriate. Oy Shatehema Malo Umar La Ashpa. Or he threatens. Unless you go and you fill up and you empty out into the ashpa, the Gemara later will talk about this, explain what this means. In all these cases, he's presenting, unreasonable demands against his wife. Yoytzi v'tin ksuba, has to divorce and pay the ksuba. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Don't go till you visit your father. So if a father lives out of town, one Yom Tov she can handle, but three, that's unreasonable. What happened to two Yom Tov? We took a jump from one to three. Hogav Akasha, we have some difficulty understanding the words. First you say, Amras Regel Echad Yukayim. If it lasts through one Yom Tov, it's okay. Hashnayim, apparently if it's two Yom Tov, that's too much. Yoytzi v'tin ksuba, right? Divorce and give the ksuba. Ema Seifa, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah where it says, Shloisha. Yoytzi v'tin ksuba, if it's three Yom Tov, that's too much to bear. Three is a problem. Hashnayim Yukayim, but two is okay. Is two okay or not okay? We have two terutzim. Amar Abaye, Seifa Ason the Kehenes. Rabidi, very simple. One is not a problem. Three is a problem. Two, if she's an Eishes Yisrael, it's a problem. Has to divorce. But if she's an Eishes Kohen, in which case, once the Kohen divorces, he can't remarry, you give them some extra leeway, an extra grace, period. Hoping that they'll come around. And this fits with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, discussed in the previous Mishnah, that a Kohen allows for more slack. Rabbi Barula Omar, he says, I'll give you another pshat. Depends how desperate she is to go home. Loikasha, the answer is, Kambira Dufa. If the Isha is accustomed to running home all the time, whether it's because she's uncomfortable at home or because she's very proud about her harmonious marriage and she wants to go tell her parents. Either way, if she's always visiting her parents, then two Yom Tovim away from her parents is too much to bear. kamra she'en redufa, whereas the second part of the Mishnah, which seems to say that two is okay, we're speaking about an ordinary case where the isha is comfortable at home, in which case two yamim tovim she can bear. On the topic of the isha running home, we have a pasuk. Oz hayisi be'enav kemoitzi shalom. This is a Klal Yisrael who found peace with her husband, kaviyach with Hashem. Omar b'yechnan kekala shenimtes shlema be'vis chamia, like a kala who's doing very well, who feels accepted socially in her in-laws' home. Uradufa leilich. She's always running to tell her parents, to tell her father what a good life she has, what a good marriage she has, how accepted she was in her in-laws' home. The pasuk further says, this is Lasad Lavi, Nu'um Hashem. Hashem says, regarding Klal Yisrael, his beloved nation, Tikroi. Tikari Ishi. V'loy tikri'i, sorry, tikri'i li'ishi, you will call me. Klal Yisrael will refer to Hashem as our husband. V'loy tikri'i li'idbali, rather than referring to Hashem as a ba, what's the difference? Rabbi Yechanan, kikala bebeis chamiya, v'loy kikala bebeis avia. Ishi denotes marriage, as opposed to bali, which can be referring to a chasen. So it's a kala, who's already married in the beis chamiya, in her father-in-law's home, already married, that's ishi. As opposed to a kalu who's still home, unmarried. La said, love, our bond with Hashem will be so strong like a married couple. And Rashi and Hashem on that pasuk says, the point is, La said, love, we will serve Hashem with love. Our bond will be one of total fusion with Hashem, like a husband with his wife. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. We discussed a case of a neder, another case, and a third case. And we leave some grace period for the nether to unravel. Otherwise, he has to divorce and pay the ksuba. We concluded with the Mishnah about a nether restricting her from visiting her parents. If a father lives in town, 1 month is considered reasonable. Past that, unreasonable demand regarding a husband out of town. One regal is okay. Rashi says it was a derech of the daughter to visit her parents on Yom Tov. So one Yom Tov she can still handle. But past that, if it's three, it's a problem. What about two? Well, it depends. If she's a kehenes, we let it ride for another regal, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And if she's a redufa, she's accustomed to running home, then two is a problem. But ain't a redufa, if she's comfortable at her husband and in-laws, in that case, she can handle up until, not including three regalim. And the Gemara concluded with a nevuah, that Klal Yisrael will totally bond with Hashem, Lasad Lavei, Bayimahu, Tikri Ishi, Imheir V'Yameinu Amen.